Are you hungry?
Good thing, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches, served as a podcast, your new favorite auditory treat where the zest of Latino culture meets the effervescence of queer narratives. With your hosts, Johnny, Ian, and Juan. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Hi. Welcome back to Tres Leches. We're so happy to have you back in our home and in our hearts. Well, you never leave our hearts, but so happy that you get to join us for another week. Hi, Johnny. Yes. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Dímelo cantando. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
That's what I was loaded. Johnny, how are you doing? We'll get back to that. All right. Yeah. Johnny, how are you?
I'm good. I am I'm about to leave Austin tomorrow after my tour of the South.
Happy trails to you.
I'm so sad I don't want to leave, but I have to. I have to get back to my things.
But leaving just means you get to come back.
That's what I usually say to a trick.
When they're like, just let them down easy.
You know, leaving actually means you can come back.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And then never see them again. No, I'm kidding.
Blocks them. Yeah. Ian, let's get to that. All right. You know, I kind of feel like you. I too am also just all right. I'm okay. I think it's because I feel like we have all, as the national consciousness has come to terms with the fact that summer time is over. You know
it's
what
over.
I mean? It's really
yes,
over now.
I very
Halloween's
much do.
Halloween's gone. And with the, and it's, you know, they usually say that summer ends after Halloween for the gays. And I really felt that this year, even though I didn't dress up or anything, it just feels like, you know what? That's done. Enough with the summer recaps. If you haven't posted your summer recap, it's too late. Yeah. That's actually a note to myself, because I haven't posted the summer recap that I've literally been editing for in my Reels application for so many weeks. And I just got to post it, because summertime is now really over.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, you need to just save it for the end of the year, babe.
Yeah, I know. It's going to feel like a video at someone's funeral, like a wrap up of something way in the past.
Oh my God.
You're so right, though. It's definitely, it has turned. Like yesterday, I felt that. I was sitting here, and usually Sundays are like my day of rest. I enjoy being by myself. Huh. That's very good. It's a good walk
for the listeners. Ian is looking out of his window, seeing what must be a gorgeous man walking by.
It's a really good walk. Great gait.
Yeah. Ian loves a walk.
Oh, I see. I get it. It was his walk, his gait.
Correct.
I see.
Correct.
You were impressed by his stride.
Yes. G-A-I-T.
is he bow-legged? Like curly?
He's too far to tell, but he had really good posture and he seemed like he was happy with what was going on in his day.
Oh.
You know, nothing will derail us like a man. Okay?
Oh my God, the number system, Juan. Zero, a zero,
oh
a one.
Oh my God, the number system. Time for the number system?
What's the number system?
Should we just do the number system right now?
We should
really
do
quick?
It.
Okay, it's really quick because it's kind of helpful. Okay, good. This is good. Okay. Well, so when Ian and I were growing up, we had this system that helped us be discreet in the way that we were talking about
men.
Uh-huh. Okay. And it's a 1-3 system, and it's very, very simple. That's why it's actually very compelling, because it's very simple and it makes you make fast decisions. Otherwise it's superfluous. So it's like, you know, when you'd be walking down, we'd be with like my mom or like my cousins and we want to like point out a hot guy, but we want to be discreet about it. Okay.
Right.
So I'll try to do it quickly, because this, you will take with your life, you will take this into your life, and it is just such an important thing. Okay. A one is a hot, like someone you would for sure get with. Okay. Like obvious, a one.
No question.
Okay.
A two is the best. A two is, I would. I think I would. Actually, maybe no. It's not. No, I don't think I would. But maybe. Or it's absolutely not. You know what? I'm seeing him now
in
a different way. Yeah. That's a two.
It's the Brittany Broski of like,
exactly. A two is so many things. It's exactly that. It's like, That's a two. And a three is a no. It's a no for me, dog. Okay. You're not going to Hollywood. So that's a three. Now, there are bonuses that were created. So that's there the are. 1-3 system. And there are two other numbers that were added later. Okay.
Okay.
A zero.
Zero.
is a team of hot people together.
Oh.
It's more than one. Like, it's a zero. Yeah. It's a zero.
Emotion,
it's a, you go, so you'd go like zero. There's a zero. It's to my right. Zero. There's a zero. A four. God forgive me. A four is a coalition of ugly. It's a four is just a whole slew of people that you want nothing to do with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fun. And what's great is you can just be, as you get, you know, you're just walking down Fifth Avenue, you just be like, one, two. No, it's a two for me. It's a one for me. So,
I was like, gonna say, or if I'm not with Juan, if you're around me, Johnny, you know this, but it's like,
bitch. Honey, me and Ian, sometimes we don't even need to do the sound effects. We'll just, we'll clock it and then immediately look at each other and then start laughing because it's just, you know, like you just know.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
You really do.
But I do want to know, like, why would, like, if a three's not someone you're trying to fuck with, why even bring them up if you don't see them?
Because it could be a 3-2. He says it's a one and I'm like three. And it's vice versa. Now, typically, I have a lot of ones. Because to me, I have a lot of things that I like. Let's put it that way. So it's very easy for me to have a one. Ones are harder earned in Ian's world. They're not as simple. And there are a lot of twos. There are a lot of twos too. But I love twos. Yeah. Twos. You marry a two, obviously. Yeah, you know what I mean? A two is a dream.
Yeah.
A two is a dream.
Yeah. You don't marry a one?
The one is almost like the hall pass. Like if you were with your two and then you're like, two, can I have a one today? And like they'd give you the hall pass to go have time with the one.
The thing is that after you've been with or the three.
If you're like, I'm not, you can take him home. I'm not going to do that.
But you know, as all of us have been first wives at some point, we realize that all ones become a two after a while.
Oh my god, did you see
after
that
video? After you've had him enough.
Oh my god.
So, you know, two's the cozy spot.
I saw it.
Anyway, that's the rating
we're
system.
All a three to somebody. I always that used to be my Grindr headline. I'm like, if I'm not responding to you, trust me, there's someone not responding to me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely.
And that's the circle of life.
Exactly. And it moves us all through faith and hope.
Yes, that Michael McElroy. Woo, woo, woo,
yeah, woo. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Juan, what are we doing today?
Oh my goodness. We have a very special show today. So today is a whole episode dedicated to your spilled milk. We ask you every week to write in and send us questions, comments, concerns, shout outs, whatever you have on your mind. And we have listened and read through all the sweet messages and things you've sent us. And there were many good ones. So we said, let's just dedicate the whole show to this. So for a whole hour, you get our advice and our pointers taken from our years of experience and heartbreak and you know, just all the life that we have lived, you know,
right?
It's gonna be fun.
The many years of yeah, and it, you know, it is our solicited opinions because you did ask correct. What we thought. So
yes, it's not completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Shall we dive right in?
Let's dive into some milk.
Ian, your face looks so gorgeous in this light, dear. The side light from the
oh yes, from the street. I wish everyone could see.
Oh my god, you guys are so sweet. I'm having a morning, and Johnny, when you sent that TikTok about the like New York song, I was having a moment about just some chaos in my personal whatever. And then I was just looking and I was like, I hate how the light is hitting me. Like, I don't feel good right now. Well, and then you said that. That's so funny. That is really funny.
That's anyway, what friends are for.
Unless you listen to episode nice. 3, where he read me every 10 minutes.
I'm making up. I'm trying to make up.
You know, we it's a roller coaster. Friendship.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
These kinds of friendships, they're roller coasters. There are good days, there are bad days, and then there's every other day.
I'm kidding.
Of course. Okay. So we're going to start with, this is something that I think appeals. It is a question that will and scratch a lot of itches. I think that whether you are a 50-year-old straight cis female divorcee, or you are a 21-year-old young queer non-binary angel from Mississippi, you'll agree. You'll want to know. Sleeping within the friend group, specifically gay friends, but to all, is it messy or okay? Sleeping within the friend groups, messy or okay?
I think it's okay until it gets messy. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Like,
after you, what are you going to say?
No, I'm saying, like, I think that I like the idea, sort of an aspirational view on this is like, I kind of like that there's a freedom between, you know, maybe a group of like 6 close friends and like, maybe you've hooked up with like 2 or 3 but we tried to date, but we stayed friends and everyone in the group still really enjoys each other. And then like, we occasionally have like these moments of intimacy, but it doesn't weigh down on the group and it doesn't get messy. I think that's okay. I've been a part of something like that before. And I obviously it's like very much a part of like gay culture. You're usually like, yep, he's my friend now, but like we used to ... whatever. And I think it's nice. It's like camaraderie vibes.
Well, I think, you know, it requires a little bit more context. I would say, like, you know, if Dan Savage always talks about this, so this is stolen from him, but I kind of have taken it with me. There are for gay men, for gay people, for queer people, actually, for queer people, there aren't enough numbers to tell your friend after they break up someone, like, hey, you can't hook up with them. You can't be friends with them. You can't keep communicating with them. Like, you can't just like, I think that's a little bit out of bounds. I think if it's within the friend group, you want to ask yourself, will this change the dynamic forever if it doesn't work out?
I think it depends. Everything I think should be taken case by case. When it comes to sleeping with friend groups, I am very much sisterhood of the traveling pants. You hear me? Because, you know, I love a good wife swap every now and then. And it could be, you know, and here's the thing. I know gay men so well that I kind of have set myself up to expect for that to happen. So I know that if I'm flirting with someone on Instagram, Ian's probably flirted with them too, because we're of the same age. We like what we like. And, you know, there's going to be overlap. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be pressed if Ian gets there first. I'm just going to be like, well, now I have to try as well. Like, you know, because if you already were having this conversation, this moment with someone, you know, I don't think, but where I put my gavel down a lot of times is when I have a connection with someone. And what I mean by connection is if we stop talking and I would cry about it, that's a connection for me. If I would feel a lot of pain by that person leaving my life, it has nothing to do with the other people that would, you know, swoop in. I can't control that. But if it's a friend of mine, that's where I would be like, hey, maybe not right now, you know, because a lot of my friends know that if, like, I have had friends where they're like, oh, Johnny, I remember you hooked up with this guy. Like, can I hang out with him? And I'm like, first of all, you don't have to ask me. That's very nice. But yes, by all means, I love when the people I love love each other, you know? But when it comes to like exes and like, if you thought about marrying somebody, that's like a little more like, okay, girl, you know, we can make out at a party, we can do those things, but maybe don't go on a date with him quite yet. But again, it's like you set yourself up for, you know, whatever comes your way in this world. So when it comes to, you know, sex and gay love. So,
and you know, Ian, you know, I think something that has kept us friends for as long as we've been friends is the fact that we don't really go after the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's aided the health of our relationship.
For sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. I've thought about that before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We share in what we think is, you know, what we're attracted to. We, you know, we can walk down the street and be like, mm-hmm. 1-3-1-0, all of that. But I know it's, I think one of the reasons why I love our relationship so much is because it has never gotten messy. There's never been a moment where I've like doubted being myself with you and sharing in real mm-hmm. time. You know, like we just, we say that, knock on wood, all of a sudden it's like, we both like the same too.
Oh my God, be so good for the pod. So good for the pod.
But good morning, Ian. Good morning, Juan.
Yes. Hi.
How are you? I'm good. No, how are you?
Yeah. Your date was on Monday. Mine's on Friday.
Oh my God. How would that make you feel though? Like for real?
I think being in a place like New York City or this is true of any place, especially for us queer folk. Your friend group is a holy and sanctified thing. You know, it's your chosen family. It's your chosen family. it's your family. You know, these people so you have to really take care of these relationships. So is it okay to sleep with your friends? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Is it messy? Yeah. It could also be messy. So you as an emotionally intelligent person really need to determine whether that individual hookup or sleeping with this person is going to affect the greater family group.
Right. I feel like it would be less messy if people were just ethical about what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
I think if I want to sleep with someone that Juan has slept with or that you have slept with, I'm not, depending on where they fall in the scale of importance to you.
Yeah.
Like if Juan hooked up with them in 2016 or even like last summer, and it was just a hookup, you know, I'm going to be like, okay, it's not unethical for me to sleep with this person. Like they had sex one time, you know, or two times, whatever. But if I've heard Juan say like, you know, I don't really love when my friends sleep with people I've slept with, that'll be something I can take into account and then present it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's all about communication. It's all about not being afraid to be like, hey, I want to go on a date with this guy. You know, we have a really great banter. Like I wasn't into him before, but now something's also like, I feel like the older you get, I will speak for myself. The older I get, the more I see myself loving so many people and having experiences with so many different types of people. There's like this summer I had sex with people I'd never think I would have sex with because we've been friends for so long, you know, but I did and the world didn't stop moving. You know, things weren't shattered. It was giving, that was really nice. We had a moment. Let's move on. And I feel like a lot of times we put so much because of like, you know, our self-worth and stuff into these like connections, that's when it gets messy, when we're like scared to say like, hey, I have a crush on this guy or, you know, and also like, I know that I can be a little, you know, what's the word? Like brash sometimes. So I can see anyone being afraid to be like, hey, I slept with this person. But like, for me, it's just like, oh, information. Great. Process. Done, you know.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah,
I think about if I had a friend from high school whose parents got divorced, and the father started dating one of the other moms from my high school, and it was like a really big scandal. The newly divorced father, the lady that he was dating, she had been single for like a decade. You know, she had been single since divorced for a long time. And it was a really big scandal. And I remember being young and old enough to be like kind of invested in it, you know? And it was high school after all. And I remember thinking how petty that was. Like, they like each other. Who cares? He's not married to this lady anymore. She was single. He's single. Right. They have kids who are friends. Like, yeah, the moms were friends. But, you know, of course, there was the gossip of like, were they cheating? And they were not.
Yeah.
There was the fact is that the mom, the husband's wife, she had been cheating, by the by.
Oh.
And and so there was like a little bit of that. And I remember thinking like, that's got to be okay. Like, who cares? You know, people move on. They have to, they find connection wherever they find connection, whether it's just a sex one night or whether that could lead to more, you know, just got to put it in the context and like really take care of the people in your lives. And you have to know that it's not always worth it. And that maybe it is.
Let me paint another picture.
Okay.
Let's say you are flirting with someone on Instagram.
Okay.
And you see their story and they're with three other people or two other people that you also flirt with.
Okay.
On Instagram.
Got it.
Yes. How do you feel when you see that?
I think that's kind of exciting. You know, that kind of like, ooh, I mean, I don't know that although I haven't really experienced it myself, that sounds like a lot of fun. Chaos, but fun. You know what I mean?
It's definitely giving chaotic for sure. Thinking about like my life and my friend group and, you know, a lot of my friends or my group, we've been friends for so long. But that buildup took, I don't know, like 8-10 years. And like, there have been like, I have friends who are together and like, I had been with one of them before they were together, but that was like 12 years, you know, like it's kind of morphed in the way that what we're saying is like, there's not enough numbers. So like everyone has found their way and some of them are all in this group, but it's not been, like group is set, I'm joining in. And like, now I get to sit on the couch and pick, do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
I'll add to that even though I am very, you know, we have said, I think overall the consensus is that it's okay to sleep within, you know, within your friend groups. The original question again, so we hear it again, it was sleeping within the friend groups, specifically gay friends, messy or okay. We have said overall it's okay, but from Juan Torres Falcon's personal experience, and I have been blessed with an amazing group of fagoons, to call my own, I don't really sleep with them. And I think it's made our relationship a holier kind of relationship. Of course, there's like little moments. I mean,
it's like super perfect. Holy.
And often the origin stories of friendships in the gay community are from hooking up.
Yeah, the gay
handshake.
You hook
up with someone and you're like, oh, then you become your best friend. That's true of my friend group in many ways. This question is from @DomPotito. I love that handle. Do you guys know Dom. @DomPotito? Oh, we do know Dom. No, yeah, we do know Dom.
He lives in Boston.
Oh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know that's right, P-Town. what does
Hi, Dom.
To me?
Hi, Dom.
Saying his name loud. I got a lot of things. Okay.
Okay.
So thank you for that question. Should we move on to the next one? Are you ready?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is an interesting one that I think is something I struggle with too. So it'll be really, I want to hear what you guys have to say. This is from @GMX92. How do y'all deal with your inner saboteur?
Saboteur.
Saboteur. How French do you all dotting. Deal with your inner saboteur? I'm going to put my phone down.
Johnny's like, I don't have one.
No. No, she's there, girl. She's loud. I let her talk. I let my inner saboteur get her words out, you know, and tell me I'm not worthy. I'm a piece of shit. I'm not that talented. Da, da, da. And I said, okay, I heard you. Now, I need to prove you wrong. Like, I have to prove you wrong. Because your inner saboteur, a lot of times, is just the voices of people that you've adapted to your own life. You know, it is when, you know, someone, your mother telling you when you were younger, you know, what are you dumb? That's not what you're, in passing. Mm-hmm. It could be in passing, but it created a traumatizing moment for you where then you adopt this self-speak where you're like, well, it's because you're dumb, or it's because you're short, or it's because you're this, you know? And so because of therapy, I'm not going to say like, I just learned how to do this, but I feel like that's the moment where I'm like, okay, I'm going to say all those things. It's like, just let it go through you. Like when you're meditating, like let it pass through you and then ask yourself, what is the truth? You know? And it doesn't always work. Sometimes she's louder than she needs to be, but eventually you have to come back to why you are worthy. You know, and everyone is worthy baseline. You know what I mean? Just knowing that, I think also helps, like knowing that you are worthy. There's no, whether you look a certain way, whether you have a certain amount of money, whether you have a certain job, you are worthy, period, point blank. So if you just know that baseline, then you have something to build on. And so that's how I deal with my inner saboteurina.
Ian, what would you say to, what would you, like, what, when does your inner saboteur hit? When do you feel it?
Mm. Oh, wow. I really was just thinking about that. It hits for me in pockets of the day. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. it'll be if I can wake up and ask myself or tell myself I'm going to have the greatest day. And literally it's right. It's almost, it's sometimes right after the affirmation, it comes in and completely tries to deny what I've just said. And so that's always interesting, is like the same, at the same force that I'm coming at it with positiveness and the way I want to see something happen. It's like, at the exact same time is the other side of the coin, which is like, but that will never happen. Are you sure? You know, it's like the doubt is there as I'm speaking into existence what it is I want to happen. And that is really fun if you're a writer, because you're like, okay, I'm gonna write this all down. I think the way I handle some of that is to put myself in situations or do things that make me feel good, right? That doesn't have to be, that can be anything for anyone, but for me, it's like going to a dance class, making people laugh, like being in a place where I'm able to use all of me, and I'm reminded, I was like, oh, like I'm okay. And this weird voice that I think what Johnny was saying before is I've attached to other people. So like a big one this year was like, I'm scared to really put myself out there on TikTok because of after the breakup, I was like, how do I do this? What, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I'm not going to be good enough / if Chris sees it, he's going to judge it. Cause he's gonna be like, oh, now you're fully, you know, jumping into this and it's not even that good, is a narrative that was like popping into my head a lot. Like I like wish he didn't have to see what I was like doing, the spaghetti I'm throwing at the wall. That's a weird little fear thing of mine. And then I realized, I was like, but that's maybe not true, first off. And that's my own, I have created and attached that fear to him when really it is my own fear that I think maybe it won't be that good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've had to stop doing that because it villainizes people who aren't even in my life right now. You know, it makes it, I think it keeps me in a state of being able to say, oh, well, it's because of this. It's slightly victim-y. And so to combat that, you just have to literally put like one foot in front of the other and keep swinging the bat. You're like, okay, I'm going to keep doing it though. Like you just kind of have to keep doing it, even though the voice is there, because the voice is always going to be there. You just kind of have to tell it to shut up or be louder with the voice you want to hear. That was long-winded, really, but I, you know, hopefully you get that.
Oh, that it makes a lot of sense to me. The idea that you just got to keep on going despite it. I think that's very, that's something I've heard from other people too, because it really is the only way. You have to kind of march through these feelings. I've always thought about, to me, my inner saboteur is really imposter syndrome. It's, to me, those are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, like, I related to this a lot in the Brittany book about being nice and what being nice mattered and being liked mattered so much, and politeness and always taking the higher road and always being kind. And it made me start to think that that in order to deserve anything good in this world, I had to make space for other people's joy and time
before
and
yours.
Importance before my own. And that led to this kind of sense that, like, I actually don't belong in this place. And I think also wherever I am, right, is that place. And I think also growing up as a brown kid that was browner than the other brown kids I was surrounded by, because I was I am half black. So I went to a Catholic parochial school and they were just like all very white presenting Cubans. And I was just so much more ethnic than they were. I always felt like I entirely didn't belong. Like I was kind of, you know, we had money and I always kind of felt like that money was the thing that allowed me to kind of sit beside all these other kinds of people. I always felt like I was faking it, right? But I had this thing that allowed them to tolerate me. And that other, you know, being the other among others, because already among Latinos, really affected the way I think about myself and move to the world. And that in turn, like the inner saboteur, like, you know, it's like when Diane Sawyer goes, who's your big, to Whitney Houston, who's your biggest enemy? She goes, that would be me. That face. Whitney was toasted during that interview. God bless the woman. And so, you know, I always try to think when my inner saboteur is really, really, really hitting, I think I belong here. This is just as much my moment as it is anyone else's.
Right.
And I should feel comfortable in asking for what I want. I tell myself that, like, ask for what you want, get what you need, etc.
Yeah.
Years ago when I was performing, I was waiting to hear back from auditions for A Chorus Line. And I was really nervous. I really, really wanted it. It was really important. It was at a point in my career where I needed this win. And the anxiety was just so intense. And I was lashing myself over like what I had done wrong. Da, 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 da. And I reached out to this director who I'd worked with. Her name is Monica Wemmet. She's absolutely fantastic. And she said, imagine yourself, like, take your favorite picture of yourself when you were a little kid, like 4 or 5 years old, your favorite baby picture, and try to tell those things that you are saying to yourself now to that child.
Right.
It will break your heart. You know, that's an exercise that a lot of people do, but it will break your heart. It doesn't stop that inner saboteur from rearing their ugly head, but it does remind you of this, of it gives you some perspective. You know, and I think about that often, like, would I say this to a child? Would I say this to anyone, really?
You know what you would do to that child? You would let them do the audition and you would say, let's go get you some ice cream. You deserve some ice cream because you did a great job. You stayed up all night. You learned that routine. And no matter what happens, you deserve a treat. And every time I do an audition or I do something, I always give myself a treat because I feel like I'm healing that child that was, you know, I just like you parent your own inner child, you know, because the inner saboteur is going to abuse that child. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can choose to fight it in the moment or you can choose to soothe it later. But I think it's really important to, like, see that kid and be like, baby, you did such a good job. Look at you. Mm-hmm. You're still doing it. You're still kicking, you know?
Yeah.
Correct. You know, the inner saboteur doesn't go away, or as you know, as Ian said, you have to march through. I struggle with this a lot. I have, especially because I've changed careers.
Yeah.
And in changing careers, I felt like, why do I, like, all of a sudden now I've changed careers entirely, and, like, people have been doing this for, they're my age, but they've been doing it for over a decade. And I just felt like I was faking. And my inner saboteur was there to remind me of that every single day. And it has made progress in my second career, which is journalism, more difficult than I had imagined. And it's not because of the practical limits, it's or what the realities of what I'm facing. It's a lot because of how I perceive myself within this business.
Right.
So,
but how special that you have, that you can be so good at so many things. You know what I mean? Like that, I feel, thanks. I wish, Juan, that more people did what you do, in that you can get on stage, you can dance your ass off, sing your ass off, act your ass off. You can be on film and TV doing your thing, but then you can also cover some really important stories in journalism. You are a jack of many, a jack of many trades, you know? And I feel like if we actually leaned into, hey, you know what? I would love to try this. I would love to take up painting. I would love to, you know, because you're still a creative at the end of the day, you're an artist. So you're, that is your through line, you know, and instead of thinking, you know, I don't have 30 years experience in this, like how wonderful that they get your voice that is fresh. It is not bogged down by, you know, bitterness and, you know, and that's why I love when friends just like try new things, because why not? Like we should never lose that childhood, like innocence of like, I'm going to play basketball now. Now I'm going to do cheerleading, you know? And, we don't live in a world that, that commends people enough for pushing themselves
trying
further.
New things.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Johnny. That means so much to me. That was so sweet. I mean, but it's true. I mean, our inner saboteur does get weaker if we continue to try new things. Okay. To at JMX92, we believe in you, and your inner saboteur is no stronger than your inner
Amen,
bitch.
Baby.
Q Stronger by Christina Aguilera.
God. This is not Christina Aguilera's on ice in this house right now. I'm gonna have to, Britney didn't completely go in on Christina, but
she didn't, no.
She didn't not go completely in on Christina. Christina's on ice. She's not in the backyard. She's not in the shed, but
coming
she's
to Broadway,
on ice.
To Broadway series.
Christina, exactly. On ice.
Yeah, she's on the back burner.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, this is a good one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do I read that person's name?
Or wait, should we do the voice memo one?
Let's do the voice memo. Let's do the voice memo.
Okay.
So this next question, by the way, if you didn't know, if you go to tresleches.thepod.com, you can record a voice memo. You can leave us a little message and we'll play it on the air and respond to your beautiful voice.
Juan.
So
don't ever say tres leches.
I don't ever say that immediately. Again. I was like, oh, don't it's giving tres leches.
It's giving gringo. What is happening?
So that is a thing that I do because I say it with my name also. Like I'll often say Juan Torres Falcon. Uh-huh. I'm used to that one. This is this I know because this is a brown person who has I have been deferring to white people my entire life. That's why white people love me so much. I'm a beloved figure among white Americans because I give them whatever they want. So I'll do that again. Now I can't even say the real thing. Okay, www.tresleches.thepod.com where you can leave a memo. You can leave a voice memo for us and we'll play it on the air.
Yeah.
So just exciting.
Like this one. So exciting. So
this one comes from Jesse Ocanas.
Okay.
And it's titled Self-Imposed Binaries. And I'll just play it for the listeners here. Hold on one second.
Hey guys. My name's Jesse, and first off, just wanted to say, really love the podcast, but I wanted ask you guys, or kind of get your thoughts and opinions on self-imposed binaries that we may put on ourselves within the queer community, specifically within, like, groups of gay men. And so what I mean by that is, like, sometimes I see there's a lot of, like, masked femme, top, bottom, this or that, like, you have to kind of choose where you want to, what identities you're going to assign to yourself. And that's the only way that you can exist in that. And like, for me, I'm somebody who I could be wearing, you know, super masculine presenting clothing, but I'll also have a little purse with me or a handbag on the side. Right. And like kind of just kind of flex and have a mix of everything. So I wanted to know your guys' opinions on, you know, these self-imposed binaries that we have in these spaces, and just kind of how do you navigate that?
It's a great question.
Thank you, Jesse.
Making us think today.
Really. Jesse, thank you so much for that very thoughtful message. Really.
Yeah. So the way I feel about self-imposed binaries, a lot of times, like this in the inner saboteur, there it's learned behavior. So, you know, when we're first coming into our queerness, we find a group of friends and we listen to those friends. And, you know, I remember when I first came out, there was a lot of rules that I got. We don't wear this. We don't talk like this. We don't move our hands like this because we will be unfuckable.
Less valuable.
That was what I was given. That was the truly word for word. You'll be unfuckable if this is the case. And when you attach a lot of times your worth to what men think or what other queer people think, you start to change. You start to limit yourself. And one of the things that I've noticed so beautifully in the years that I've been out is friends of mine who would have never, you know, because I'm also an actor. So like, you know, we know, like when you throw on a wig, when you do a thing, you're embodying this character, you're embodying this light, where a lot of people don't feel a lot of the same sense of play. So like I got my start on Instagram doing wig videos with, you know, but I was so scared because I was told that we don't do that. And, you know, I would see other gay men putting on wigs in their close friend story, but not on the regular story, not on the regular story. So, you know, I have seen those exact same people change and wear skirts out to, you know, parties, and, you know, they've got their little dangly earrings, and like, you know, they're embracing this femininity because I think as a society, we've grown to fight back against like the idea that femininity is, wrong. You know, it's like it's giving patriarchy and down with it. But I do think there's just so many colors to who we are as people that you should. Now, that being said, we should always focus on good tailoring and, you know, making sure things look good on person. But even like top and bottom, you know, there's just so much like, are you bi? Are you poly? Are you this? Are you that? There's so many labels because we want to understand. But ultimately, like I was saying to Juan about the different jobs, like, why not try something new? Why not, you know, be in your top era, be in your bottom era, like have fun with your body, have fun with your mind, your clothing. Like, so I deal with it in a way that's like, I want to push my limit all the time, as long as I'm doing it for me and not for the amusement of other.
I have spent my, you know, I was a very effeminate child and I loved fashion. I've always loved clothing. To me, like, I was an only child and I naturally liked it. My mom always let me pick up my own clothing. And so I've always approached the world via not just clothing, but kind of presentation, right? Yeah. Like very external presentation. I've always been very aware of that. I understand the presentational nature of how you navigate the world with these kind of external things that we put on and take off and these roles that we play or stop playing. I just got a lot of positive feedback about who and how I was as a kid, right? So I'm at fourth grade. Who I was in fourth grade is very similar to who I am now. Mm. Really, really is. Like I was lucky. I was blessed, right? That I was able to express myself. Yeah. And that has allowed me to also not feel bound to hyperfeminine expression or hypermasculine expression. I've always kind of done a little bit of both.
Right.
Right. I was as hairy as I am now. I'm covered in hair, like covered from here to my legs. I was like this in seventh grade. I was.
Yeah.
So there was always this very thing that I was like this hairy Cuban boy, but I loved heels and I loved Louis Vuitton and I loved purses and I was a dancer. It was always a lot of things. And I've always allowed myself to be a lot of things. Being a lot of things does not mean that you are going to be for everyone. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I spent, you know, some of the best times of my life were when I was doing drag professionally and when I was on the road with Kinky Boots and getting to express myself in a wig and makeup every day and to use my body to kind of to pay homage to the divine feminine parts of my soul. That was an incredible time in my life. But I also have, you know, I don't need to express myself in that way all the time. I really don't. It doesn't feel inherently comfortable to, and I haven't had this like need to live, you know, to put on a lot of those feminine attributes or like femme characteristics every day. I feel like I do a lot of both. Mm. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten more and more comfortable with that. I really, really have. I will add that there will always be times in which, especially as a queer person, there are going to be other people who seem to have more status than you or have bigger opinions than you do and make you feel some type of way about how you want to express yourself. Cling to those who love you and not to be a Pollyanna about this, but like if you're very mass presenting and they are uncomfortable with you wearing your House of Gaia rhinestone studded handbag, that is their problem. It is really just no longer your problem. Right. It really isn't. Unless for some reason you need that person in your life, right? It's just really not your problem. That's why, especially within friend groups, like that makes me sad. Now, you will often see like a group of like mask presenting guys all wearing very, very similar things that hang out together. And that's fine. If they don't want anyone who isn't exactly like them in their friend group,
right?
Murder, She Wrote.
Murder. Yeah.
Express yourself, baby. You really, really have to. And I feel blessed to have friends like Johnny and Ian and Andrew and Cody and Corey. I mean, these, you know, sorry, that was a Whitney Houston reference. I feel blessed to have a lot of friends that make me feel comfortable in heels or in, you know, a pair of Dickies pants and a mechanic shirt when I'm doing like straight cosplay. I do it all and that's okay.
Yeah. What about you, Ian?
I just want to say it's so lovely to hear, you know, we're best friends, but it's so nice to have these moments where I really get to hear and kind of learn more about you. You kind of think, you know, your friends, you're like, it's been 11, 15, you know,
yeah,
16 years, whatever. But, so that was really beautiful. And I was just thinking, you know, I have this push and pull, like love hate with being gay because, I also grew up quite effeminate and had a lot of energy and did a really good job of kind of making myself smaller to be able to chameleonize in many different groups. Mm-hmm. I think that's why as a kid, I always used to do accents. I mean, I think I just liked to do accents because I just had a flair for wanting to, I don't know. It's just, I'm a theater kid and it's in my blood. But then like, you know, I noticed that when I moved to Miami, I like got in with like the group of Argentinian girls and I started speaking with like the Argentinian Spanish accent because like one, it was fun. I just like love, it's one of my favorite accents on the planet. But also there's this way that I was really trying to make myself palatable to many, many different groups.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still, it's an ever evolving journey. I'm like still learning like what it is I like, what it is that I want. And that doesn't have to do with like the people around me. And then in gay world, as you get older and you start to go to the gym or you start to want to be wanted and you do want to be someone who's desired, that I hate how sometimes I like fall kind of like not victim to, but like there's just, it sometimes it controls my life in a way that I hate, because I felt so free at Halloween, let's say, when I put on my blonde wig and I was giving my Lestat, and that just felt so good. And Kevin Sullivan was like, that wig transforms you. Like, I feel like I see a true Ian in there. I equally enjoy serving up, you know, a sort of like, even what I'm giving now, this like mock neck, like, you know, it can give like Club Monaco super well put together, but then it's also giving like very Supreme sweatshirt. Oh, I look like I'm like a Kardashian's boyfriend, and I'm like coming in, I'm like, here's your coffee, babe. You know what I mean? Like that vibe. And I like that I can serve that, and I like that I can serve other things too. I don't know. It's just,
I feel like a lot of people feel as though, you know, even because I've talked, I have a lot of, you know, friends that are, you know, non-binary, trans friends. Mm-hmm. And like, there's always this idea of like, when you come into yourself, you have to be so strong and like, and have so much conviction and like, this is who I am. So like, mm-hmm. a lot of times when, you know, effeminate gay men realize that they don't have to do the act anymore. They don't have to try and mask it up or, you know, lower their voice or do, you know, they go so far this way because it's like almost like a fuck you to all the people that like told them like that wasn't beautiful, that wasn't lovely. And then it swings back a little bit sometimes because we are not meant to be one thing. We are meant to be many things. We are meant to explore. We are meant to, you know, and that's why I love being an artist, because from a very early age, you are given that kind of like, you know, toolbox to be like, yeah, I want to play an 80-year-old man that just had a wife that died in the school play. And, you know, and when you're saying that about the Kardashian's boyfriend, like how fun to just like put on the silhouette of a Kardashian boyfriend. And then 2 weeks later, you're in your poom poom shorts and giving Saucy Santana, because if you can, why not? Like, you know, that's why I love icons like Iris Apfel, who is if you don't know who that is, like she's this beautiful New York socialite who's older now, but she like wears all this jewelry and it's what she's known for. But she always talks about just like how much she loved to play and how like, you know, and that's why I love fashion. But even when it comes to sex, like, you know, I'm not the girl I was when I was 22. And thank God for that, because I've been able to experience so much
truly
sexual fun. And, you know, even dating, like, you know, oh, what's your type? When people ask me what my type is, I'm like, I don't really have one. I love a beautiful face, but, you know, I think it's so fun to not restrict yourself to one thing. And, you know, especially when you do it when you don't self-impose things on yourself, you will see the way the world opens up to you. You know, when I was like, started going to circuit parties and not like when I was focused on being around my friends and, you know, not worried about how I looked so much or like, oh, did I, you know, because of all the things that I'd been taught, I started having more men pay attention to me because I was in my body and free and happy and joyful. And when people see that, they can either be like, that's a lot, I wish I could dim that person's light, and that has more to do with them than it does with you. Or there's someone that says, I see that light and I want to bask in it, you know? So I think, yeah, just like go where your heart feels good. And if your heart feels good in a cardigan, like a Taylor Swift moment, then, you know, get your folklore life, bitch. Like, you know what I mean?
Hey to Jesse, yeah. Which has been so much singing today. Since we were talking about Kinky Boots, I'm going to tell Jesse, from the closing of Kinky Boots, I'm going to sing to the closing. I want you to take it with you. And when people tell you some shit, you can sing this right back to them. Just be who you want to be. Never let them tell you who you ought to be. Just be with dignity. Celebrate yourself triumphantly. You'll see. Just be. Cyndi Lauper, thank you so much. Oh my goodness. Well, yay. This was a lot of fun. I love telling people what I think.
Yeah. And not having to hear what they think back.
Exactly. You'll take it and you'll like it.
You'll take it and you'll like it.
Well, what an episode. We are so grateful to have had you with us yet once again. Please serve yourself up a sweet, delicious slice of tres leches.
See you next week. Bye.
Buenas. Love you guys. Mwah.